From Indiana Public Radio and Ball State University, this is The Scene, the show that captures live music right from our own backyards and brings it straight to you. I'm your host, Jacob Holtzman, and this week we're going to showcase not just some of the fine talent around Indy, but also look at one of the new cool ideas and opportunities coming to Indiana music. That is the Indy Music Co-op. IMC is a brand new idea focused on expanding access to the arts in our Indiana community. Located in the Circle City Industrial Complex of Indianapolis, IMC is working to renovate 6,000 square feet into a recording studio, rehearsal space, and community gathering spot for Indiana musicians. On this broadcast, we're going to hear from two spectacular bands that played at the celebration of their crowdfunding event, Moxie and Rob Dixon in Triology. You're also going to hear us sit down with the co-creators, Kai McGinnis and Sleepy Richard Floyd. Up first, though, a regular staple of the scene and a staple of the Indianapolis music scene is Moxie. Moxie opened up this celebration with a bang, and we are just as happy to see them as we always are. Let's go ahead and dive into their thunderous sound.
About a ghost in a window.
Thank you.
try to make that extra spooky for you guys.
Spooky, yeah.
Thank you. Give it up for Cecily on the saxophone and the bass. She's a woman of many talents. We call her our Saxy Lady. And then I'll go ahead and introduce the band here as well. Might as well. We got Rocky on the drums, and she's got one of her favorite things to wear, and it's a silver tutu, so I'm glad she's doing that tonight. And then my name's Jesse, and I'm happy to see you guys tonight. Thank you for sticking around with us tonight.
Hey.
Ben Moxie here on The Scene from Indiana Public Radio. If you're interested in learning more about this artist, you can find them at moxiemusic.com. That's M-O-X-X-I-E music.com. We are now going to be taking a short break, but don't go anywhere as we have our interview coming up with Kai and Sleepy right after. You're listening to The Scene here on Indiana Public Radio. Right now we're listening to some awesome artists who came together to celebrate the creation of the brand new Indie Music Co-op, a community-based project focused on getting all artists around Indianapolis access to the materials they need for awesome music. Right now we're going to actually step away from the music for a second to sit down with two of the co-creators, Richard Sleepy Floyd and Kai McGinnis, to hear more about how IMC actually came to be. Let's go ahead and get into it.
All right, so as you guys probably remember, I had the privilege of coming down and kind of helping out Adam Financier at IMC's last crowdfunding event. And that was really kind of where I heard about this unique opportunity you guys are presenting to Indiana musicians and just the music community. And so I was wondering if maybe we could start, maybe introductions between each of you. And then how did this journey start? Because this is, I mean, in my opinion, it feels like quite an audacious undertaking, you know, making a studio like this.
We'll start with introductions first. That one's easier. So,
okay.
My name's Kai McGinnis. I'm one of the co-founders, the Indie Music Co-op, as well as Soundspace, which is the original concept of musical co-working that this was born out of, has been the vision for about 3 years now to build this large centralized facility in downtown Indianapolis that provides affordable music making space to local musicians.
Awesome. Thank you. What about you, Sleepy? What's your story behind all of this?
Yes, I'm also one of the co-founders and founding members of it. I've been working with the guys, alongside the guys, for the better part of the last year and a half. But I've been privy to the concept. I started as an artist rep. I've always been a part of it. You know, in the planning stages, I was all about it, you know, just hearing about it. And, you know, here we are today. We're able to, you know, have some community support behind our efforts, and just been a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was really cool getting to come down to the last crowdfunding event and kind of see how much positivity there was between just the audience and the artists themselves, that this is all going to work towards, you know, a bigger purpose than maybe just the individual efforts of everyone. No, it's creating this really neat culture that already surrounds music in Indianapolis, in my opinion. So with that, what really started this journey, Kai, or maybe it was you, Sleepy? Like, you kind of mentioned Soundspace was the initial concept for the Indie Music Co-op, but where did this kind of take off in your guys' heads?
Sure thing. I met the original founder of Soundspace, Ricky Anderson, in November of 2018, and his roommate was a barista at Calvin Fletcher's Coffee, and he was just like, my roommate has this idea about music. Do you want to meet my roommate? And so I sat down with him, and he, you know, explained the concept to me about taking music making space, and rather than hourly studio time or lockout rehearsal rooms, flipping them onto a monthly membership, like a music gym or musical co-working space. I very much was on board with the idea from day one. And I basically said, hey, I'll give you a year and we'll try this, you know, try and bring this thing to life. And a year and a day later, we had our first paying rehearsal member at Soundspace Beta. We call it Beta because it's our beta testing ground for the proof of concept. And you know, to build out. So we just started with a rehearsal room, and we opened that up to see artists to pay a monthly membership to come and use that space as much as they like throughout the course of the month. Basically from there, we realized that there's two ways to scale, right? That like you can build drywall and build more spaces, or you can deploy technology to flip pre-existing spaces onto that membership-based model. As we realized that through our beta testing at our current facility, which is right across the parking lot from where the Indie Music Co-op's going to be. And so that split really made it obvious that, you know, Indianapolis needs a centralized facility like this, have a centralization of those resources and those physical spaces. You look at Home in Nashville or 2112 in Chicago, there are very similar conceptual creative hubs for musicians and music tangential businesses to all come together. And we think that it's crucial to have like a hub like that in any metropolitan area where people can go. You know, you look at Austin or Nashville or any of these places, they have that. They have that corridor, those places where you know that there's music on every corner. So SoundSpace moving forward into that technology sphere to connect to those physical spaces with the technology. But the heart-centered purpose and the mission that we started on, right, is to build this facility for Indianapolis musicians to provide this infrastructure for local music in Indy. And so that is really, you know, that concept we felt is best governed by the artists and by the folks that are already here making the music. So that is how we landed on the Indy Music Co-op.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love hearing the history behind it. You know, I'm aware of some of those other places across, you know, the nation. And it's really cool that you're starting that in Indianapolis. I mean, Indiana does have a really nice music scene. I feel like that will definitely help take it to that next step. Sleepy, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I mean, like, you know, Kai basically laid it all out. That's the biggest thing of all of it to me is just the beta space has proven to be even a transformative space for musicians, even just as we're just, you know, applying like proof of concept, you know, techniques and principles to, you know, running that space. It's really already paying dividends for those that use it. Just having an incubator for music and creative endeavors is just important to a legitimate music city. Or just metropolitan area in general, you know. So this really helps. It's going to help solidify Indianapolis as a music city because there's that now that place exists where go work on your stuff and all in a 360 sort of way, you know, from, you know, meeting with your bands, you know, to recording, to rehearsing, to, you know, working on a live show, or like on stage, you know, it's going to address all those needs and much more, you know, and then also the educational components, you know, so the programming is limitless, you know, and so that's why it was just so important to us to just get the thing built, you know, just get the funds to make sure it happens because inside the building, it's like all our ideas are just going to flow out of it and much more and others, you know, that's the part I'm most looking forward to. But yeah, we had a lot of work to do to get to that point, you know, to get to this point. So that was cool in itself as well. So
I can definitely understand that. it's always hard starting out, like, taking that first step on something, mm-hmm. especially like this, like you just got to go for it. So why memberships? Why do you feel like that is really one of the important parts of this? Like the conventional studio model is you pay for specific blocks of time, but you mentioned like a gym, obviously you're not lifting weights in the studio, but you still have that membership type format. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel that is the way to go?
Yeah, so I'll answer it more metaphorically and then I'll maybe answer it a bit more logically. When you go to the studio, right, and you say, I want it to sound like this, and there's an audio engineer there typically, right, and you pay them, say, $50 for their hour, and, you know, you're basically saying, give me a fish, right? Whereas with the way that we aim to set up the studio, and have done so at beta, we are encouraging and enabling folks to learn how to fish for themselves. We have people that have never recorded music in their life that are coming in and making music and able to walk away with a high quality recording after one or two sessions. Then they're able to repeat that ad infinitum. So it's just increasing, you know, Sleep touched on it with the educational programming, right? It's really limitless. Just raising that bar of like music making capability and just that knowledge base for the artists. And membership model provides access for that, right? If somebody pays $50 an hour, you know, you might only be able to afford a couple hours in the studio and you might not walk away with that amount of knowledge. Whereas we're just applying a different business model, right? You're not having a couple artists a day come in at a premium rate, or you don't have one band rent that room, right? And it's just theirs and they only rehearse in that rehearsal room twice a month and it sits empty 95% of the time. You could have 50, 75 bands on a membership that can share one space.
Yeah, I would also add that over the long haul, the amount of money saved, it becomes more affordable to the artist and to the musician. They're not nickel and diming their money away on a per session basis. And so, you know, if you really stick to it and you actually use the space, you're saving yourself hundreds of dollars. You know, your average studio time, you know, your average studio session is going to run you about $300 to $400, you know, on a 4-hour block. So, you know, just having this, and I apologize, I have a studio here in my house and my kids want to just start playing cowbell. I don't know. You know who that is, Kai. You already know who that is.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, it's for the long haul. You know, it just makes more sense economically to do that monthly membership. And then, I think it really helps people become a part of something, you know, something unique, you know, something that, you know, they can be a part of, and it just builds camaraderie and new opportunities, networking, all the above.
Yeah, cool. Kai, do you have anything you wanted to add on that?
I mean, I'll, you know, you're looking at one of Naptown's finest here. The bottom of our screen, or at least bottom of my screen. And I mean, you know, just to have people like Sleep, you know, like you said, he's been around from day one. It's just the concept of like, hey, we got this idea like months before we even had the beta space. And, you know, now we've raised funds to build out the larger scale co-op. And it's special, man. Like there is, you know, when you genuinely set out to solve a problem, provide value into a community, and when that resonates with people and they support you, it's humbling, and it gives you, you know, a sense of validation that purpose is being pursued. It's been really cool. You know, I'm super thankful to all the members that we've had that have helped us, you know, actively learn in the beta space. We've learned all kinds of stuff that we would have never thought about, and you know, it really gives us some wherewithal to go in and build a larger facility that, you know, is built to their needs and to just give them the playground, right? Like, and the artists from there, you know, will fill all that in with their own brilliance.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. And then, you know, continuing with the artists, one thing that's kind of been, helping, you know, push this mission forward has been your crowdfunding events, where, you know, you've had artists come in and really engage with the Indianapolis community just by playing, you know, festivals and music as you try and raise awareness and raise money. How pivotal were those crowdfunding events really to getting word out to the community?
You know, the event like was the crowdfunding benefit concert that we threw was, you know, a very, it's more of a celebration. We were very close to the end of that crowdfunding campaign, and it was to receive a matching grant through the IHCDA, the Indiana Housing Community Development Association. So thanks to them for that. It gave us, you know, a great benchmark to really push ourselves toward, and ended up being really wonderful. But, you know, you touched on it a little earlier, just to have the connection there, right? The intimacy between the crowd and the artists, and like everyone understanding that there's a common theme and a common goal there. You know, they're very affirming, and I'm really looking forward to being able to have many more of those events as we get closer to open. And that opening day concert's going to be one for the books.
Most definitely, man. And yeah, just like even at, you know, the campaign event, it just felt the energy was so good that night. Just, you know, we worked together, you know, for all this time, you know, to get to that point, and we were still working together that same night, you know, and, you know, so it was really special. And, you know, I look forward to more events like that, you know, and just continue to work together. Like, I think once people start to see like the brick and mortar go up, or, you know, the rooms start to fill out, it's very exciting. Sorry, I'm a little like monotone because I had a long night last night.
You're good. You're out there supporting the indie music scene still.
Yeah. It was fun.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you did reach your crowdfunding goal, correct?
Oh yeah, we exceeded it.
How awesome was that then to know that, you know, there is a response in this community for an event like, or for a space like this? I mean, the people are obviously willing, like they, you know, back Absolutely. And support this idea. Does that, you know, make you feel good about going forward with this?
Oh man, it was special. I mean, because, you know, you know, when your friends hit you up, that's what meant the most to me. When your family and your friends get behind what you're doing, that makes it even more special. So like, we had the support of the artists, but then when your own personal network kick in and they say, hey man, I seen you on the news, you know, and I see what you guys are trying to do, I definitely want to support that. You know, that means the world. You know, I'm from Kokomo, Indiana. So I had a lot of people from my hometown, like, you know, kick in and it was like, yeah, Sleek, we got you, man. And they donated, you know, to the campaign and like substantially, you know, and it was just like overflowing with gratitude, you know. So that meant the most, man. So yeah, absolutely. You know, it was just like a, you know, a moment of joy and overjoy for me, you know, to just know that the people that I grew up with that really, really know me, like really, you know, were behind what I was trying to do, what we're trying to do.
I was going to go the other way and say that it was incredible to have a bunch of donations from names or people that I didn't recognize.
Yeah, that part too.
and like great concept or that, and like the amount of emails and just responses that we got from, you know, we were able to get some good press, and shout out to Elevate PR in town. They did a great job of this.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Andy Wilson over there, he's kind of one of the, yeah, he's one of the OGs of the scene in his own way, for sure.
Yeah, and he gives of himself, man. That's the cool thing about, you know, Andy. Like, if he believes in something personally, he'll help you out. He'll really get behind you. And he definitely did, you know, as you know.
And so to be able to have that, that support, and it's a very vivid memory. It's kind of one of these cool things I've gotten to do a couple of times. We received a grant and Sleepy hadn't checked his messages, and I ran into him at the space and I was like, hey man, did you check that thing? And got to tell him in person and see that reaction in real time. But then that happened with, like, as it pertains to the crowdfunding, with a few days left to spare, he was playing down at the Chatterbox on a Monday night, and someone logged in and closed out the rest of the crowdfund for us to hit our goal. Yeah, it was like,
yeah, close it out, like boom.
Yeah, it was like, it was over $1,000, and they just logged in, they just paid the rest. And it was just, it was a college roommate of a drummer that uses the space. And he was just like, you know, just a buddy from school. And so just to see that amount of support, right, for the concept and to back it. So I got to go down, you know, it's right up Mass Ave from where the co-op and sound space is, to be able to like tell him that in person. And it was like, right, it was like almost $2,000 away when he left, like earlier that night. So he thought I was kidding. He thought I was kidding.
I was like, I literally just checked it, man. You know. It was funny. That was a special moment for sure. It was just like, wow, in real time.
I mean, that's amazing, because I feel like that speaks to so many things that I love about the Indiana music community. And I mean, you know, you can go to Nashville, or you can go to LA or Chicago, and they have amazing music scenes, but I really feel like with Indiana and Indianapolis, how everyone is so tight knit. It really feels like a family. I mean, Sleepy, I know I've seen you at multiple gigs. You got the biggest smile, always happy to meet me.
Yeah.
Just the inclusiveness and the ability for everyone to just hang out and work on events like these, I think is so cool and such a unique thing that speaks to Indiana and the people in it.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, like the co-op is, you know, that's the most exciting part about the co-op for me, is that we've already established camaraderie and we've already established a sense of unity within the music community. And so it's just now we have a hub that, like a basically a clubhouse where we can meet up and actually work on our stuff like that we talk about in real time. So that's going to be wonderful. You know, we're all like even at gigs, like on breaks and stuff, we always talk about, you know, what things could be. And, you know, and that's kind of been a talk for years, you know, just like what we need around the city to make our lives easier and to you know, to make us, you know, to help us prosper even more. And so just to see it come to life is a beautiful thing.
No, yeah. And I mean, I'm really excited to see when it, you know, as it prospers and, you know, becomes more of a nice foundation. And where do you really feel that this is going to go? And like, where do you hope this, you know, ends up?
I think as it relates to Indianapolis, like, you know, the membership model, business model is in itself sustainable. And so like the cool thing is, right, that the artists are saving money on studio time and rehearsal space. But long-term, you know, that the co-op will have money left over once we're done with construction and getting up through the gears. So for me personally, I'm excited about what that can do in putting that those resources even back into the community even more, whether that's more programming or that's scholarships to make the space more accessible, you know, things like that. I think there's just a ton of options to pump the well back into the community there. So that's what I'm really excited about, is that, you know, when that really becomes a hub and a music specific endowment for Indianapolis.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. I think that's one of the really interesting aspects of this, you know, music model, is that like a traditional studio wouldn't necessarily have the type of community outreach at the end of its business model as this does. This is really, I mean, you look at it as like one-to-one, like each person is going to have their own unique experience each time. And the business is then going to have their own unique experience with that person giving back. I can really appreciate what you guys are doing.
And thank you.
Yeah, sounds Jacob. Sweet. Yeah, thanks so much, man. I mean, I think we really touched on, you know, the core components. Just really excited to actually build it and open the doors in 2022. Going to be surreal watching those walls go up.
I'm
really happy to not build them myself.
Right. That's the best part, right?
is there a final drop date in terms of albums, but like an expected, you know, cut the ribbon on the building?
Just treat it like a Kanye album, man. Like,
all right.
It's fluid. Yeah.
We'll drop it when it's done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally fair. Well, regardless, I'm excited to see it when it comes. It's going to be an awesome space.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you again, Jacob, for taking the time to speak with us, man. And we look forward to, you know, having you guys out the grand opening, you know?
Yeah, the scene will gladly be there for that. We'd love to come hang out.
Yeah. It's going to be epic. Yeah, definitely.
Cool, man. Well, you're welcome anytime, but especially on that day.
For sure. All right. Well, you guys have a great rest of your day, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Yeah, man, you do the same. And we'll see you soon.
Awesome. See ya.
Take care, y'all.
This is The Scene from Indiana Public Radio. Right now, you just heard me, Jacob Holtzman, sit down with Kai McGinnis and Sleepy Floyd to talk about the Indie Music Co-op project. If you are interested in learning more about this project, you can find out more at indiemusiccoop.org. Right now, though, we're going to get back to our music with no better an artist than Rob Dixon and Triology. Headed by renowned saxophonist Rob Dixon, Triology took the stage with some brand new jazz titles and funky improv. Let's go ahead and tune into their set. You're listening to Rob Dixon and Triology here on The Scene. Let's go ahead and get into the next song.
Thank you.
Rob Dixon in Triology. If you're interested in learning more about this artist, you can find them at reverbnation.com/Rob Dixon. Thanks for tuning into this episode. Increasing access to music is an area that is near and dear to me, so a project like IMC is something I can fully get behind and think it will be great for the Indiana music community as a whole. I can't wait to see how it takes off. I really appreciate Kai and Sleepy for letting me sit down with them, and can't wait to see them again, hopefully at the opening of the IMC. Until then, take care and we will see you next time. Major support for The Scene comes from Ball State, Ball State's music media production program, our underwriters, and listeners like you who support their local public radio station. Our show is produced entirely by Ball State students. Paul Butler, Abigail Beige, Liam Van Overwall, and myself are the show's producers and engineers. Gabe Waugh is our booking and communications coordinator. This episode is produced by me, your host, Jacob Holtzman. Special thanks to the Indie Music Co-op and Adam Finassier for letting us record this week's artists. To find out more about the bands and venues we feature on The Scene, visit our website, indianapublicradio.org/thescene, where you can learn more about the program and listen to our episode archive. Again, that's indianapublicradio.org/thescene. Also, if you'd like to keep up with what we're up to next, follow our Facebook page. Just search for The Scene from Indiana Public Radio. And find us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @thescene on IPR. We're also on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you find your podcasts. Give The Scene from Indiana Public Radio a search to add us to your favorite podcasting app. Thanks for being with us. Join us again next time to hear what's happening in The Scene, here on The Scene.